Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with Father Joseph Lopez, the Vocation Director for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. How are you, Father?
Doing well. Thanks, Margaret.
Well, thank you for being with us. Before we get into the Office of Vocations, can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I was born and raised here in Corpus Christi. My parents, blessed to still have them with us here. I have two older sisters. I graduated from Corpus Christi Academy in 1994 and entered seminary right after high school. My freshman year, I was a seminarian at Holy Trinity Seminary in Irving and attended classes at the University of Dallas. After that year, I was transferred and graduated from St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I graduated with a philosophy degree. And then after that, I continued with priestly formation at the Pontifical North American College in Rome, Italy. And while I was there, I attended classes at the Angelicum, which is commonly known, affectionately known as the Citadel for Theological Training. I was ordained to the diaconate on October the 4th, the Feast of St. Francis, in 2001 in St. Peter's Basilica. There were 38 of us that were ordained together from the United States, and we were all ordained by Pio Cardinal Laghi. And what was very interesting about this particular ordination is that George Bush was present.
Wow.
And George Bush Sr. was there. And in June 29th, 2002, I was ordained to the priesthood here in Corpus Christi. After that, I returned. My first assignment was to continue with my studies in canon law. So I returned to the Angelicum to finish my license in canon law. Returning to Corpus Christi after that, I was assigned to work in the tribunal office for the diocese while living at Our Lady Guadalupe and also then at St. Joseph's here in Corpus Christi. In 2005, I was appointed as chancellor, and I had residence at St. Philip's here in Corpus Christi also. And then in 2006, of October 2006, I was appointed also as the cathedral rector while maintaining my assignment as the chancellor. In May of 2010, a little over a year ago, I left the cathedral and went full-time into the chancery office as chancellor and my first run as vocation director. So currently I'm have two assignments as chancellor and vocation director for the diocese.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Can you tell me a little bit about what a vocation is?
Well, Margaret, in simple terms, a vocation means a call. But in general terms, our vocation is what calls us to do with our life. Everybody is called to know God, to love Him, and to serve Him. The difference is how each one does this. In the one life God gave to us to live, we have one overriding purpose, and that to fulfill the will of God, because this is the key to our true destiny, our eternal happiness. So God gives each one of us a particular mission in life, and as we grow and life progresses, He makes it known to us, usually in indirect ways, more as an invitation than an imposition, because God doesn't impose on us.
Mm-hmm.
Discovering and ultimately following our vocation, what God has called us to do, gives the greatest glory and praise to our Creator. It is what we were created to do. But what the underlying thing I'd like to point out is that we all have one life. We all have one life to live, and only one chance to live it through our vocation.
So then it's very important for people pretty early on to at least discern what type of vocation that they want to be a part of. Speaking of that, what are the different types of vocations?
There are individual vocations vary from being single, being married, consecrated, religious life, or a priest. However, we usually use the word vocation to mean a call to the consecrated or religious or priestly life.
And is there a particular age that one might start to discern what vocation they have?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
For some, I know priests that discerned priesthood when the day of their first communion at the age of 7. Some people have began to discern their vocation when up until their late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
It varies.
Okay. All right. How can one tell if the vocation to the priesthood is really where God is calling them to?
Or whatever vocation they may be living now. Because sometimes there's a confusion. Even people in married life, which is a vocation, may wonder, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, or even when they're while they're engaged, just that discernment process mm-hmm. when they're in during their engagement. But in regards to vocation to priesthood, if a young man has a vocation to priesthood, there are two signs that he has found where he is supposed to be. The first one is that he feels at home where he is. If he happens to be already in formation, he feels, quote unquote, at home. This is logical since our vocation is what God meant us to be when he created us. So obviously when we are where he wants us to be, we have the feeling of being made for there, which we were. But I think it is also very important that we feel like it is just a little too much. What I mean by that, if we don't, we are either in the wrong place or we haven't yet quite understood what it is all about. God always calls us to a higher standard. When we are where God wants us to be, we realize that we are not going to be able to do this on our own. Every single one of us needs grace. And it is going to cost us. We're going to have to die to ourselves. We're going to have to make many choices, sometimes very difficult choices. There are things we like that we are now going to have to take a second, third, or fourth place, or have no place at all. The second sign, then, is that tremor of fear. Another way of saying it is that you have found your call when you discover that you are really going to have to work to make it a reality. It's not easy.
It's a challenge.
It's an extreme challenge. But God never said it was going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the gospel passage does he say it's going to be easy. Because our vocation is not something we discover and slip into comfortably and effortlessly. It is going to take all the qualities we have, all the qualities, both spiritual and human, and make us stretch and make us develop and use them beyond we ever thought even possible. Because God wants us to be a saint, and no matter what vocation we are living, whether it be single, married, religious, life, priesthood, he all calls us to be saints in that particular vocation he has called us to be. And that is the challenge of a lifetime.
Thank you for summarizing the vocation to the priesthood so beautifully. What would you say is the difference between a vocation and a job or profession? Sometimes I jokingly say that a vocation is what you want to be when you grow up, where people might consider that their careers, but in terms of, or in the light of faith, it's what our vocation is and how we're going to live to serve God.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question and a very common thought about vocation being profession and vice versa. There is a distinct difference between a vocation and a profession, although they are not mutually exclusive and do in fact overlap sometimes. A profession is a much more restricted term, which we use to indicate a career or a particular ability we develop, usually with the purpose of earning a livelihood and contributing in some way to this for the good of society, but always considered in a horizontal dimension. And what I mean by that, a horizontal dimension, in that profession affects us as individuals and those immediately around us. We don't need to believe in God to choose a profession and exercise it in an outstanding way. A person can pick, choose, and switch professions very freely, since the principal point of reference is a person's particular preference, his own benefit, and the opportunities he has. But when we use the word vocation, we introduce a vertical dimension in our life, especially into our thinking process and decisions, since the point of reference when we talk about vocation, it's God's will. So horizontally, the profession affects you and me mm-hmm. and the people around us. But when we speak of vocation, we speak of a vertical dimension between me and God.
Okay.
So vocation is not something we switch out on a whim, since it is not something we go into lightly, which we have already discussed. In following a vocation, the main question is, what does God want? As opposed to, what do I prefer? So it would be a huge mistake to approach a vocation to the priestly or consecrated life, or to even marriage, thinking only of ourselves and not being willing to commit ourselves to it. For example, very common phrase, especially in marriage, for better or for worse. Because we know God wants us to see it through until death do us part.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and take a break, Father. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
It's called a come and see, and that's just what happens. Single Catholic women ages 17 to 30 are encouraged to come and see how nuns live, work, and pray. It's an opportunity to visit, pray, and reflect with the sisters about a vocation to consecrated life, and a chance to begin to discern, how do I know if God is calling me? Come and see events are set for the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament convents in Corpus Christi, Brownsville, and Edinburgh through April of 2013. For more information, call Sister Anna Marie Espinosa at 361-774-4910 or go online to iwbscc.org and check the Vocations tab. Maybe the time has come to get some answers.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. We're here with Father Joseph Lopez, Vocations Director. And before the break, Father, we were speaking about the difference between a vocation and a job or profession. Can you continue talking about that, please?
Sure. If there's ever a conflict between our profession and our vocation, it is always the vocation that has to win. A married person who knows that a career opportunity that opens up to him will more than likely destroy his marriage must opt for his marriage vocation, even if the price if it's of the price of his career. A baptized doctor who risks losing his license if he refuses to do certain immoral procedures will follow his Christian vocation, and even at the cost of his medical career. A priest who is a great success in a particular field or ministry and is asked by the bishop to serve in a different area must follow his priestly vocation, which includes obedience to his bishop, rather than his quote-unquote success in a particular field.
So in a nutshell, a vocation is not something that you take lightly. It's something that takes many years to discern, and it is different from a profession in the sense that you can change professions. I mean, statistics show that professions are changed many times in a lifetime, but your vocation is not changed many times in a lifetime. You have one vocation, one way of serving God, and you stick with that.
Correct. We are created. He created us for a particular reason in life, and that is to fulfill the vocation that He has given to us.
Thank you. Now, when should a young person start answering God's call? I know we spoke about age earlier, but when would they enter the seminary or a religious order?
From a general point of view, the answer would be right away, meaning as soon as we hear the call and prudently come to a decision or conclusion that it may be authentic, we should act on it. Not stored away in a corner, maybe we'll get back to it later, but immediately. In our daily life, whenever God asks us to do something, we should follow through quickly and generously. That is a general principle. But when we are faced with the concrete individual vocation, several factors and circumstances can affect the answer. But the bottom line, and the important is an important attitude for any young person to foster, is being generous with God. We read in the first book of Samuel And then something that, that really should ring in the ears of all those that are pursuing a vocation, no matter what vocation it is. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, and I'll do your will.
I like that. That's basically what's happening when you're entering into prayer with the Lord and communicating with him, and that two-way street, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, I know a lot of the audience is very interested in the process of becoming a priest. It's not necessarily something that's mysterious, but what is the particular process of becoming a priest?
Mm-hmm. It varies depending on the age of the individual that is entering into formation. For example, for myself, I entered right out of high school, and I entered into a seminary, college seminary, with the studies of philosophy. So I continued on for 4 years and received a bachelor's and then moved on to theology. And there's a standard that we have. It's called the Program for Priestly Formation that requires the 4 years of theological training, formation. So from philosophy, I went on to theology for another 4 years. So all in all, it was 8 years of studies, of formation, and then ordained a priesthood. For an individual who is considering a vocation to priesthood and is answering the call to that, and he has already graduated from college, worked in the field, wherever it may have been, he would need to enter into a pre-theology program in order to get the philosophy requirements, because there's a minimum of that as well. And that pre-theology program also introducing him to formation. That's usually a 2-year process. And then after that, he will go into formal theological studies for another 4 years, so a total of 6.
Okay.
So it depends. Long story short, possibly 6 years, possibly 8 years, but
At minimum. 6 years.
6 years.
Okay, wonderful. Now, going back to the function of the vocations office, can you tell us a little bit about what your office does, what offices your office collaborates with, and things to that effect?
Well, the Office of Vocations collaborates not only with Sister Annette Wagner and the Office of Consecrated Life, but also collaborates on a very concrete level with the priests in the parishes. And what we try to do is build a culture of vocations in the Diocese of Corpus Christi at the direction of our bishop. At the same time, the Vocation Office directs those young men that are currently studying to be priests in the Diocese of Corpus Christi, answering all types of questions for them and being also a liaison between them and the seminaries of which they're attending.
Now, if someone were interested in inquiring about the priesthood, what would their steps be? Who would they contact? What's their initial?
Mm-hmm. Again, that varies as well.
Okay.
If a young man or anybody surfing the net and they become interested all of a sudden and Google search vocations, priesthood, Corpus Christi, whatever, our Facebook page will come up. Our diocesan website will come up. Our vocations website will come up. And then they can start surfing through there to contact. Or simply pick up the phone and call the vocation office at the Diocese of Corpus Christi.
Or they can even get in touch with their parish priest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's also very important to build that type of relationship with the parish priest in whatever parish they're attending. And then he may make that contact to either me or the Diocese of Corpus Christi directly.
Wonderful. Now, what are there any future developments for the Vocations Office?
Absolutely. What we really want to do is reach out into the pews. I had the privilege to attend many confirmations with Bishop Mulvey as a master of ceremonies. And he spoke very beautifully about vocations in all areas, but he really focused on vocations to priesthood. And what I found is that there are several young men sitting in our pews today that have a vocation to priesthood, but yet have not been, that seed has not been watered.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to Bishop Mulvey and seeing his, having his presence at the parishes has a spark in the hearts of young men. And I saw that very concretely at very many parishes. And so what I'm going to try to do is get back in touch with those young men.
Okay.
Also fostering those inquiries. having different programs available to keep the men engaged while they're still in high school, so that when they graduate, to help them discern the particular vocation God has called them to live out.
That sounds like a great support system. Now, speaking of support systems, what role do parents have if their son is interested in becoming a priest?
Very good question. The best thing that a parent can do when they find out that their son has spoken about becoming a priest is to support them, not to make fun of them, not to try and convince them otherwise. For parents to support their son is vital. I have heard that, and I have actually experienced where a family doesn't support their son. I'm not speaking personally, but I have had opportunities to speak to parents and to help them to convince them that it's not their calling, it's their son's calling.
Mm-hmm. And it's God calling them.
God, exactly right. The parents had their opportunity. Now it's this young man's opportunity to answer God's call and to pray for their sons, that they fulfill God's will to the best of their ability.
Thank you for sharing that, Father. Now, what are some of the social media things that we can look forward to in regards to vocations?
Well, I already mentioned with Facebook, we do have the exposure out there with Facebook, and I have posted a few things and have had some really good responses from individuals about the postings and the videos and so forth. But one of the things I'd really like to do is advertise through YouTube. Currently, if you search onto YouTube and type in vocations, whatever, for priesthood, Corpus Christi, general, and so forth, there are a lot of videos out there, very good videos about priesthood and the procedures, but we don't have anything directly linked to Corpus Christi, to our diocese. So that's something that I really like to engage the youth and the population in general, is through those medias that everybody is attached to. To go where they're at.
Father, can we end with a prayer for vocations to the priesthood?
Absolutely. God our Father, we turn to you in this time of great need. We trust in your loving kindness and ask you to hear the prayers we offer for your church. Through your grace, we seek men willing to generously offer their lives to you in the priesthood. You inspire and bring to fulfillment every good intention. Bless and guide those who are discerning your call to holiness and service. Give them courage, steadfast love, and a spirit of charity as they seek to respond faithfully to you. We offer this prayer for the Diocese of Corpus Christi and for the whole Church in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Young children have an amazing ability to sometimes see life more clearly than adults. This ability arises from innocence and is expressed honestly from the heart. Sometimes we are privileged to witness it in everyday events. Such was the case a few years ago when a grandbaby was crawl-scooting across the floor. A 5-year-old sibling was crawling alongside the baby, encouraging him to crawl. Suddenly, the baby spit up some milk, and the older child cried out, "Ew, he threw up." Seconds later, he added, "Oh, look, he made a heart." Indeed, the sputum from the baby had spread on the floor in the shape of a heart. Later that same year, we took the grandchildren to the beach, a tradition we were just beginning. As I strolled along the water's edge with this same 5-year-old, searching for sand dollars, he casually posed a question. "Grandpa, do you remember the good old days when we used to look for shells all the time. Since this was only the second or third time we had done this, I was amazed. I marveled that this child had a concept called the good old days. I remember at that age asking my mother how long it would be before I started school. When she said a year, I recall thinking that it was a very long time, because my sense of time defined one day as forever. And yet here was this child talking about the good old days. As adults, we often fail to see these moments as important, and we quickly forget them. Society in general, and some people in particular, lead us to believe that we are defined by what we do, and that the only thing important is how much money we make or the successes we achieve. This view leads us to focus more on filling every waking hour with accomplishing a goal rather than actually living the moment. The baby spitting up becomes another task in an already too busy day, and spending time with a grandchild is only a momentary distraction, soon forgotten. All too often we buy into this lie. Football Sundays and keeping the boss happy become more important than family and faith. Relaxing at the end of the day becomes more important than eating together or listening to how someone else's day went. As a result, family and faith are both set aside and suffer from the neglect. When the breakdown occurs between spouses or between parents and children, we wonder what went wrong. For many, the pain becomes too great to bear because they have forgotten how to care enough to make the little sacrifices, so those little sacrifices become unbearable. We forget where our first priority lies. We succeed in business and being popular with coworkers, but we fail in the things that really matter. It is not in pleasing others. It is in loving one another in a manner that is appropriate to the relationship. That means that God and family come first, then friends and co-workers. Jesus made it very clear. He said, "Unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." We must learn to see life clearly, to keep it simple without all the complications we add as we grow older and we seek our way over His way of love. May God bless you with the heart of a child to see simply and clearly what He desires for you, and may you always seek to love one another in the moment you have been given. Amen.
We would like to thank Father Joseph Lopez, Vocations Director for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, for being our guest today on Labors of Love. If you have any questions or would like to inquire about the vocation to the priesthood, visit vocationscorpuschristi.org or call the Chancery Office at 361-882-6191 and ask for the Vocations Department. Again, thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.